Township Casino. The meeting is called to order. And do we have a quorum?
Yes, on the line is Dr. Bennett and Dr. Knopf. Yes. This is Martin speaking. Dr. Guarino?
Present.
Dr. Knopf?
Here.
Dr. Bennett?
Present.
Ms. Powell?
Present.
And if Dr. Guarino, if I may, I'll introduce for the record staff that is here. So Martin is here. Jackie Kennel is here. And by telephone, we have Jamie Shapiro, Mona Leonard, and Gigi Damashek. On the line also that I've heard announced is Dr. Musafi. I have not heard any other respondents announce themselves. This is Martin. That was Dr. Monroy who chimed in. Yeah, Dr. Monroy, if you would please mute your phone until we call your agenda item. And then announce your name before you speak and be a little patient. There is a bit of a lag in the communication.
Okay, so we don't have anybody at the board office right now checked in for newly licensed people.
That is correct.
That's correct. Okay, let's go to tab number I, which is whether to open in case number one, or tab number one, I should say, no case has been assigned in for the matter of Dr. Scott Stamp. Dr. Kolesh, can you give us a briefing?
Yes, so this is Dr. Kolesh. I received a call from a chiropractor who indicated that there may be some false advertising going on. I asked that doctor to open a complaint, and he did so. The complaint was there may be false advertising. During the investigation, we noticed that there were some chiropractors listed on the website that were not identified as such. That's that.
Okay, and I saw, looking through the board materials, that it looked like there were some statements like "live pain-free," "no more chronic pain." So we got a couple of potential advertising issues for a chiropractor who listed, I believe, a Dr. Brett Smith, who's licensed with that. And then also, some of the other advertising issues we just discussed. Board members, do you have any other issues that you would like to bring up, or would someone like to open up a motion to actually open a complaint so that we can investigate this further?
This is Dr. Knopf. I will make a motion to open a complaint for further investigation.
Is there a second?
A second, imagine.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Powell, for your second. And for the sake of discussion, were there any other issues that need to be addressed at this point or mentioned? Or, of course, we can, if the motion carries, we can deal with that in person when the doctor comes before us if he chooses to do so for the initial complaint. Anybody? Okay, hearing that, I'm going to call for a question. Those in favor of opening up a complaint, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, are there any opposed? Okay, I've heard four ayes, so the motion will carry and we will open a complaint. Our next tab is tab number two, in the matter of licensure for Emmanuel Monroy, who is on the phone.
So,
Dr. Kolesh.
Dr. Emmanuel Monroy has applied for licensure by examination and PMMTP certification. His application is complete. During the application process, Dr. Monroy disclosed that he had been arrested in Iowa City, Iowa in April of 2014. Dr. Monroy stated that he was charged with being at a bar past 10 p.m. while being under 21, possession of alcohol under the legal age, and interference with official acts with injury. Customary background checks revealed these charges, but no other reportable incidents. So the board has the typical options to grant a license and request consent agreement, or deny the license. That's my report.
Thank you. This is Dr. Greeno. I'm going to ask Dr. Monroy if you have anything you'd like to say about your arrest in 2014 at this point.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, board members. This is Emmanuel Monroy. As you guys know, I did disclose that the misdemeanors took place back in 2014. Currently, they've all been expunged. Don't have any criminal records since then. I guess something I should like to say is I was a student athlete at the university at that time, and unfortunately, when the misdemeanors took place, there was a lapse of judgment on my behalf. I did go on to do substance abuse classes as well as I don't remember the exact number, but a fair amount of community service. To basically do right and not wrongdoing. The experience that this woke me up kind of showed me that I was on a path that wasn't right for me. And it allowed me to learn that basically my actions have a consequence, something that in retrospect I think I took for granted at the time. But it definitely has shaped my character ever since then. It basically affects the care that I would be giving out as a chiropractor, because I'm able to really take everything into consideration now, and rather than act on impulse like I did at that time in 2014. Other than that, that's all I think I should say in regards to this. And I appreciate y'all's consideration throughout the. Thank you for that. I'm going to ask my board members now if they have any additional questions for you.
Applied for licensure by examination and PMMTP certification. Her application is complete. During the application process, staff became aware that Dr. Musavi had been arrested in Fulton County, Georgia in December 1987 for a DUI. The customary background checks revealed no other reportable incidents, and the board has the usual options.
Dr. Mandana or
Mandana?
This is Dr. Greeno. It looks like your DUI arrest was about 12 years before you graduated from your chiropractic college. Do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
Yes, good morning, board members. This was over 30 years ago, and I was young and stupid. We went to a bar, And, you know, this is a crowd with four of us. They convinced me that I'm not as drunk as everybody else, and it wasn't even my car behind the wheel, and there were these other police over there. As soon as I pulled out the parking lot, he stopped us, he stopped testing on me, and he decided that, you know, I'm not sober enough to drive. Obviously, the other in the park started yelling and screaming and arguing because, you know, they were not themselves. So we all got arrested. We got one phone call. I called my sister, and I came out within an hour. And I had a lawyer that told me that this was, you know, a drop. It was a hateful drop because I guess they didn't do any 6 years ago. I don't remember if I got the first text, but or the officer forgot to do it because of the chaos. And I have to know that I was licensed in 2002 here, and this never came up. I don't understand why this has come up. Anyway, I mean, I was youngest student, and for 30 years, you know, I don't even drink anymore. I've been practicing for 20 years, and since 1999. And, you know, I've had a very driving practice. My patients helped me. I was licensed in California, and now I'm here, moving here 3 years ago, and would love to give service to my community here. And I do appreciate your consideration for that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Board members, do you have any questions for the document, right?
No.
Mr. Dodger, cannot. No, I do not.
Thank you, Paul. No, I do not.
I have a question. Two questions. One of them very relevant, I guess. And that is, it's Dr. Masabi, right? Your first name is Montana?
Yes.
Okay. And Dr. Masabi.
And the reason why I ask is because I have a chiropractic classmate who's faculty at Palmer West. His name is Masabi. Are you related?
No. What?
His first name is Dr. Eddie Masabi.
No. I have no idea
who
that person is.
More relevant question. What are you doing since you were looks like you were last year in practice in 2016, is that correct?
1999. I graduated in 1999. I graduated summa cum laude from Cleveland Chiropractic College, started practice in 2000, and you know, I think I've been a very active and type of passionate doctors in my community. I was licensed in California. I still am licensed in California. And I moved here in 2017. This is one of the best into practicing. You know, I was semi-retired, but then I decided, you know, this is my passion and I can't just let it go. So I applied, and this came up. I actually applied in 2002. I was married. But my husband passed away in 2009. I moved back to California. But during my life, when I was licensed in 2002, I didn't pass away. But I just reactivated my license here in Arizona. But didn't continue with the continuing education because of this sickness, and became ill, and I had a daughter, and so it was life got very complicated.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I want to clear my question. And my question is, when was the last time you took care of patients at the chiropractor?
2017.
Okay.
I sold my practice in Orange County.
All right. And where are you with regard to continuing education requirements?
For Orange County, I'm inactive. So I just pay my yearly fee to the board, but I'm inactive. Instead of
inactive.
I'm here.
All right. My question is where, and this may be directed to also the staff, with regard to the Arizona continuing education requirements, are we okay or is there an issue there?
So this is Martin, and for a new licensee, which this technically is, there was no requirement to show continuing education for the application to be complete.
I'm looking at the application, and, to answer your question, Dr. Mousavi, you were kind of wondering why this is an issue now, on the application, it will ask you if you have ever been arrested, and if you've got anything like this in your past, in the future, you need to answer this question correctly, that you have it disclosed, so that we don't find it in a background check and then have this kind of a discussion after the fact.
I completely understand. It was just under the impression, because it never came up in 1999 when I got my license. I never came up in 2002 when I got my license here. If you go back to my application, this never came up. So I just quickly started the business, and I don't know what happened, that you know it yet. But I completely understand if I apply for license anywhere else, now I'm deported, and I will sit in the administration. It wasn't my own purpose, that I didn't want to hide it. I just thought it went away. And this is the first time it come up. So I don't know, and I asked for my records to be sent, and they said they couldn't find the records, that we can, so that proved you that I sent in $4 or $5 to the court and the administration, and to send the records directly to you, and they couldn't find anything. Okay, so I'm a little confused about that, but definitely I am the top of you, thank you.
Thank you. This is Dr. Guarino again, board members. Does anybody want to make a motion?
This is Dr. Knopf. I'll make the motion to grant licensure upon payment of appropriate fee.
Okay, we have a motion and a second by Ms. Powell. Is there any other discussion?
This is Martin, and just to remind the board that one option would be to grant the license upon completion of a continuing education or some other criterion, but you could vote to grant that licensure immediately upon that type of completion, along with the payment of fees.
Can I just interrupt for a second? This is Mary. That would need to be by a consent agreement, Dr. Kolash.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's the.
You couldn't do that by motion. It would have to be an agreement.
Okay, this is Dr. Guarino, but didn't we just establish that she was exempt from the continuing education requirements because she's technically a new licensee?
That's what I thought, yes.
I'm sorry, this is Martin, and I just meant to say that the application is complete. Exemptions, I'm...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we have a motion and a second. I'll defer to the maker of the motion and the second if they wish to amend that, or if they're happy with their motion as is.
This is Dr. John. I'll stand with the motion as is.
Okay, this is Dan. I agree. Second.
Okay, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of granting license, I think now to raise them, please signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries, and we'll grant licensure for Dr. Mousavi. So we're able to move on to tab number four now. And tab number four is a matter of Dr. Nathan Whitcup.
Yes, this is Dr. Kolash. I did not hear Dr. Whitcup enter the call. If he's there, please signify.
Okay,
Dr.
Whitcup,
Thank you. So I go on with the board brief. Dr. Nathan Whitcup has applied for licensure by examination. His application is complete. During the application process, staff became aware that Dr. Whitcup had been arrested in Hampton, Virginia in October 2010 for possession of a controlled substance. Dr. Whitcup stated, "Sorry, I didn't disclose it, but I was told it was taken off my record, and his statement is attached to the board materials. Customary background checks revealed these charges, but no other reportable incidents, and the board has the usual options." That's my report.
Okay, board members, you've reviewed the materials, I'm sure. Do you have any complaints?
Hi, this is Nate Wakeup. Sorry about that. I just got cut off the phone call for some reason. I'm in a bad surface area.
Okay. Hi, Doc. This is Dr. Richard Greeno, chairman of the board. We're considering your potential licensure in Arizona right now.
Okay.
And we've read all the materials that you submitted. I'll tell you, as I read the materials, I had some concern that you're holding yourself out of the energy you are and you know, vehemently opposed to vaccination. And some of these things could get you in trouble if you're granted a license. You cannot separate yourself from being a licensed chiropractor. And, if you are granted a license in this case, you will be held accountable to the scope of practice too. The state of Arizona, which does not include energy, are you aware of
that? Okay, definitely.
Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Wickup?
Okay, Mr. Mayor. As we read the material, same as Dr. Moreno, I have the same concerns. What is the focus of your practice going to be?
I'm in Sedona right now. I was in upstate New York. I was doing an orthopedic chiropractic there, basically, chiropractic practice. So I would do that here if that's what I have to do. Whatever I have to do with a license thing, I will do. And in Sedona, there's a lot of energy healers here, I found, and basically I'm going to stick to the orthopedic because I will be different just doing orthopedic chiropractic.
Okay, this is Angela Palamian. I guess it just concerns me that what you want to do and what you have to do is in contrast to each other, and that you might tend to go back to energy healing, and that you should be honest with yourself about what it is you want to practice.
I'm a chiropractor. I'm practicing chiropractic. So whatever the board is here is what I'll do. At home, where I just moved from New York, I didn't do energy healing at home. I thought coming to Arizona and Sedona that this may be something interesting here, and I'll do whatever the state board requires of me, basically. And I love chiropractic. That's my passion. I just want to help people, and I don't know where I put on the application. I was against vaccines and all that, but maybe it was recorded when I was talking to one of the board members through the application process. I didn't put that on my application.
Okay. You answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Board and any other board members have any comments or questions? Okay, at this point then I'll entertain a motion to grant or deny licensure.
Mr. Dr. Knopf, I will move to grant licensure upon payment of appropriate fees.
This is Angela Powell, I'll second the motion.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of granting licensure, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, are there any opposed? Okay, congratulations, Dr. Wakowski, you will be granted a license for Arizona.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to tab number K or letter K for board business. And I've asked Dr. Kolesch to put a tab on your rating for the COVID-19 latest information, and just I wanted to get it on our agenda so that we could have a discussion about it. Dr. Kolesch, do you have any opening comments you'd like to say about the materials that you put together?
I just assumed that y'all had been reading the Arizona websites and things, and so I searched the United States various board websites, especially those that had restrictions in place. I went to the CDC, WFC, which is World Federation of Chiropractic, the World Health Organization, and the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Boards for their information. And then I included in your packet the an administrative order that applies to all licensed healthcare boards for your consideration and knowledge.
Thank you. So this is Dr. Garino. Let's start with letter A, and let's just go through these one by one. Letter A is the Arizona Department of Health Services administered an order for temporary waiver for licensure. Do we have any obligations, do you think, as a board to, and how would we comply with that? I feel like we've increased the path to licensure, and we've got it pretty well streamlined, and I interpreted that as more medical doctor deal, you know, infection-fighting population of physicians. You know, I'm sure it was aimed at them, but I just wanted to have a discussion with our board if we think we need to do anything because of that order.
This is Dr. Knopf. I didn't see anything that requires changes from our board.
Okay, thank you, Dr.
Knopf. All three, they would aim more towards the medical and infectious. Doctors are going to have to be infectious, control the infectious disease. That's what we need to take.
So, looking at letter B, we have Dr. Kolesch put together a coronavirus notice. I guess my only concern with that is we didn't really weigh in as a board how that was going to be wordsmithed or worded or any of that, and so I don't know who did this go out to, or is it something that's just posted on our website, or what happened with that, Dr. Kolesch?
Yes, I'm sorry that I did not call a board meeting. I kind of drafted this. I did draft this myself, and I posted it under our website under news. And I essentially borrowed the language from a couple of other websites. So I'm happy to amend this in any way the board sees fit.
In the future, anything like this, I would just like you to pass it by the board, and if it's urgent, we can always have an extra phone meeting or whatever we need to do to make that happen. Board members, do you have any questions or concerns, or are you fine with this notice as
stands? This is Dr. Knopf. The language is real broad and very general, and it points to a third party as an expert, so I'm okay with this.
I think the timeliness is important here, and so to the extent that this was a quick communication, I think it's great. I do, however, feel that it's appropriate for us as a board to perhaps expand and clarify a couple of matters, and I think those will become more clear to us as this dialogue evolves.
I've had a lot of doctors calling me concerned about posting notices in their offices. They don't want to discourage patients from coming in because of our chiropractic beliefs, the fundamentals of chiropractic, and yet they don't want to violate any board regulations or any mandates by the board, and they have been wondering if we had anything that they could post in their offices, if we could create that order. Within our purview, or I just wanted to make mention of it because it would be helpful.
This is Dr. Knopf. Sorry, go ahead, Dr. Green.
I was go ahead, you can make your point, and then I'll add something to you.
I don't think we should provide any collateral to doctors as far as patient notices go. What I've been seeing on a national level, we've been monitoring it across a ton of different states, and I believe our attorney is on the line too. And what we're seeing as a pretty clear pattern is that boards are saying, really trying to stay away from providing guidance, because at the end of the day, it's the scope of chiropractic that is what we oversee and what we protect, and doctors who are in clear violation, that's what we would then address anything. So I don't know that any clarifications we make, we can really technically enforce, should we make them. I could be wrong with that.
Dr. Brito and Dr. Knopf, members of the board, I think that's an accurate statement. I do know other agencies have put things on their website, but not necessarily giving direction to individual practitioners to post in their offices.
That's great. This is Dr. Greeno, and I look at it from the same lens. You know, our job is to protect the public. Normally, these are the kind of things that maybe a state association, or the doctor advocacy group would be the one to maybe put something together and make some privilege available. But because of the nature of COVID-19 and being highly infectious, I think that people are looking to the board for patient safety issues as well. So I think that's got to be at the discretion of each doctor and how their practice is set up and whatever they're comfortable with. And the bottom line is they've got to protect their patients any way that they can. We can deal with it later if something goes wrong.
I think there's an additional understanding that if any orders or policies issued by legislature or the governor, if practitioners are in direct violation, then they're subject to fines for that body, not necessarily the board.
Providers, and I think across the board, and from the different individual states. And then we have also the World Federation of Chiropractic in their point number three in our materials, taking the position that chiropractic manipulative therapy is not shown to boost immunity. And so I'm sure that there's a big a population of chiropractors that are out there right now that are encouraging patients to come in to get adjusted to boost their immunity, and it's happened in the past, and I know what's happening now. So, and that was part of my reasoning for wanting to put this on the agenda so that we could have a discussion. And so, board members, if you want to move in that direction, I know in the past the board has created different position statements that are in our law handbooks, and for whatever reason we got away from that because I think they're difficult to enforce and they're not really part of our rules or statutes, and so we create an opinion about something and it can be problematic. And so I am going to rely on the Williams as a counsel to clarify in any way, like, what does that mean, and what is the ripple effect of us taking a stand on the things that we just discussed.
Yes, Dr. Green, members of the board. I believe, are you speaking about substantive policy statements that you've done in the past?
Yes,
which are, that is a legal document that a board can create that basically interprets a statute or a rule, and how the board is going to interpret something. It doesn't have the force of any statute or rule. It's just guidance to licensees, and it is something you can do. Position papers are not, boards, unless you have statutory authority, cannot give any kind of advisory opinions to licensees. I have seen other regulatory boards during this time, are maybe providing links or guidance based on a document that a national association put out, that people can go on your website and link to that. Your scope of practice is your scope of practice. And I think Dr. Knopf said before, if something comes before you down the line in the form of a complaint, then you would obviously have to look at all the facts and circumstances of that and decide what direction to take that. You may want to, Dr. Kolesh, I don't know if you've done it yet, but you could consult with some of the other health boards and see what, if any, actions they are taking. I can't really advise you on policy. It's not my role. But if you just wanted to direct Dr. Kolesh to reach out and see what some of the other boards are doing, that might be an idea, and he could bring back some ideas to you.
Board members, what's your pleasure? Do you, I'm in favor of Dr. Kolesh investigating this further and maybe coming up with some language specifically regarding chiropractors as essential healthcare providers. And then as far as immunity, effects as well. But if that is the direction that the board would like to go.
I definitely agree with your recommendation, your direction, Dr. Greeno. The only thing that I would add is that I think that this is something we need to move on quickly.
This is Dr. Trump. Yes, I agree that we need to probably issue a statement around being essential healthcare providers. I feel very strongly that should be our role right now. I'll just put this out for suggestions to the rest of the board. Some of the things that I've been seeing in other states is that they're limiting statements to specifically coronavirus, saying, hey, if you're a chiropractor and you're out there saying, we can help you from getting coronavirus, that would be a clear misstep. Whereas, and I think the reason why they put that out there is because there's a definite lie. Whereas, boost of immunity, I think that could potentially be argued. So I just want to put that up for consideration.
I agree with Dr. Kanoff, and I think that part of the distinguished issue here that we should take into consideration is if it were the doctor of chiropractic in normal circumstances sharing research with a patient that manipulation does confer some measurable immune response, and there is evidence to that effect out there that could be argued and presented, that would not be reprehensible as an act. That's different than a current healthcare pandemic crisis where social distancing is a very important component of what's going on. And so that's why I believe that taking a very objective position to act as a point of interpretation so that doctors who want to do the right thing are given the benchmark to help make prudent decisions.
Right, and I think we can definitely say that there's no research linking chiropractic to the prevention of coronavirus infection. I think that's a pretty easy statement to make. And we know that there, unfortunately, probably aren't doctors that are trying to capitalize saying, hey, this will keep you from getting coronavirus. I think it's just a much more clear direction that should the issue come up, we can take a pretty clear stance on it.
The I like the language that I read on the Texas Board of Examiners. Their statement was the board will investigate claims that chiropractic spinal adjustment slash manipulation confers or boosts immunity as a violation of the law. We might want to add COVID specific language to that, but I think that's a good statement overall.
Okay, great. I agree with that. And so Dr. Kolash and board members, if you have any language that you want to submit to Dr. Kolash so that we can help him out with that task, I would appreciate that, and we'll direct Dr. Kolash to put something together. And then, we can have a phone meeting in a week if we need to try to ratify that at that point.
This is Dr. Kolash, and certainly a statement along that line wouldn't take a week. So if you want to get together earlier, I'm certainly open to that. Even as early as later tonight or tomorrow, if I can get it done.
You have to have your 24 hours notice.
Oh, that's right.
Dr. Reno, this is Mary. I have a family member in the hospital, and the hospital is just calling me. I'm going to mute you.
Okay.
If you have any questions, I'll try to be back on in a couple minutes.
Right.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay. So, still on tab number 5, is there anything, I know we didn't go through all the bullet points, I don't think that we need to. Is there anything else that is pertinent or that anybody would like to bring up at this point? Okay, then hearing none, we can continue with the executive director's report regarding legislative updates.
Okay. And I listed the same bills that we had on the last agenda. I actually started making this agenda some time ago, and I was hoping to be able to tell you more about them, but on my research, pretty much everything stopped March 12th at the legislature, and so there no action's really been taken beyond perhaps moving some of these things to the other body for to be considered, but those bodies have not taken them up. And so there's, unless someone has more insight on that, I don't have much more to add there.
Which one is the one, the lien law, the one that deals with the lien?
I'm sorry, I don't have that number right at my fingertips.
With regard to the lien law, I have heard discussion from Vicente and Schaffenberg, the two that were instrumental in putting this together, that there is going to be a carve-out for doctors, for doctors specifically, but other doctors are there as well, so that it wouldn't have, you would have to meet that threshold of $20,000 before you file a lien, which I thought was really good news. I've heard that he had so, just as a sidebar, I thought you guys would not be interested in hearing that. We're working through it as we speak.
My understanding of the status of the legislature is that there are 28 what are considered non-controversial bills that are going to be included along with a basic budget package that we expect that the legislature intends to approve and then adjourn the session and resume it at some point after the pandemic has calmed down. And none of these bills are in those 28 bills. So my understanding is that all other bills, including all of these, are in a suspended status at this time.
Okay, and it's already the end of March, and so do we think that these will not have a chance of passing then, or be done with this year?
My understanding is that the session will be resumed either in the form of a special session or as a pre-established resumption after a hiatus of the existing session, one or the other, and that the normal business of the legislature will be continued at that time.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other discussion on any of the legislative efforts? Okay. And then, that brings us to new staff members. So I want to personally welcome new staff to the team. We've had some turnover lately, and I'm sure that it will take us in a better position.
And they are on the call. So that they're becoming accustomed to what our meetings, how they flow and what they're like. They are, Jamie Shapiro is the new deputy director. She starts on Monday. Mona Leonard is the new licensing specialist. And Gigi Domashek is the new administrative assistant.
That sounds great. Do we have any crossover from any other board, or specifically regarding Ms. Shapiro, what is her experience?
She is with another board currently, the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Jamie, if you want to unmute and address where you are, that'd be acceptable.
Members of the board. My name is Jamie Shapiro, and I'm looking forward to contributing to the practice of chiropractic here in Arizona. I currently am the executive director of a tiny little agency called the Psychiatric Security Review Board. These board members have jurisdiction over the criminally insane here in Arizona. There will be not crossover, but I assume that I will be taking calls from the staff members who will be standing in place and the other board members if they need any assistance.
Great. Welcome to the team.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Ms. Leonard? Do you have anything you'd like to say to the board?
She may have been in a bad cell area, it seems.
Okay, I'm not sure about Mrs.
I just want to say I'm very excited to be a part of the sport, and I'm excited to do whatever I can do to help get better.
Great. Welcome to the team.
Hi, I'm back on. This is Mary.
Oh, hi, Mary. Okay, well, I think we are at the point where I would talk to the public, but we don't have any other things, so I'll go ahead and take the final motion to adjourn.
In fact, if not, I'll make the motion to adjourn.
This is Dan Lopal, I'll take the motion.
Okay, so the favor signified by say nine.
Aye.
Okay, 9:50. Thank you all for joining by phone at this particular time. So we will see you all in a month.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good day. Be well.
Bye-bye.